This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And Bob is Bob Shorey. You got to get on that microphone. Bob, you there?
Yeah, I'm on it.
All right, he's on it. Just testing. Make sure we can hear him. One of the MCSEs here at Tab, and he helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Feel free to get online this morning, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC, and we will do our best to help you out. If you are still on Facebook after watching The Social Dilemma, you can go ahead over to WTIC's Facebook page and watch us there. We are broadcasting live, Facebook Live. Just let us know where you're coming from. If you want, if comments or questions, feel free to post them in the comment section. We'll try to get them on the air for you as well. So, like I said, we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. As usual and customary, we talk about news, but I wanted to bring up one quick thing about Tab, our little company here. We're looking for people, and we've been looking for people for a while. Good people. And it's really hard to find good people in Connecticut, I'll tell you. We're looking for server engineers to join our group. So if you happen to work for another IT company and maybe you want to work for a different one, get a different point of view, different approach, give us a ring. If you're working for a company where you're just, you know, the IT guy looking at four servers all day long and you're bored, definitely give us a ring, because when you're working at Tab, you know, we work with over 400 different small to mid-sized businesses. So there's a lot of opportunity and a lot of exposure to all sorts of technologies. You're not going to get bored ever here at Tab, right, Bob?
No, you have no time.
We keep you busy. So again, here in Connecticut, we've been working for, gosh, over a year plus trying to find good folks. If you know anybody out there who would like to make a change in their IT career, feel free to have them reach out to us here at Tab Computer Systems, because we want a few good geeks to join our team. So I figured I'd bring that up, because we've got headhunters galore looking for good people. We're having a hard time finding them. So what the heck, I'll bring it up on the air. So another technology news, Bob, what do you got going on?
Oh.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say, well, we couldn't find anybody from India.
No. Yeah, nothing wrong with India, but no, we want to find local folks.
Yeah, I know. I was just bringing that up as a joke, because I know you've been harping on that.
Oh, H-1B visas? Yeah, yeah, no, we don't need any of that. We want local folks here.
Yep. Okay. So, we got that deal down in Texas where they got all the snow that they never get.
Right, yeah.
And they have no snow plows, obviously.
Well, they do. Actually, you know what? I've heard the governor talk about it. They're actually very close to Colorado. They do have snow plows in Texas.
Up in the north, the panhandle.
Yeah, just hop in the car and drive south.
But, you know.
That's a ride.
The thing is, also, the people down there don't know how to drive in snow.
No.
That's obvious. I saw that on film. Yeah. Or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And they don't know what to do in cold weather.
Right.
So, you know, obviously nobody had generators.
No.
And the other thing, too, is that happened, and I know that there's a lot been debunking, but, you know, the people that had, like, a lot of the frozen pipes.
Right.
If they hadn't been up in the north, particularly, like, up in Maine, where I grew up.
Yeah.
When it got cold like that, you turn the water on, let it trickle.
Sure.
So that keeps the pipes from freezing.
A little bit, yeah.
So they had a lot of frozen pipes.
Oh, what a mess.
So, yeah. Anyway, getting back to that, because of that, Ford asks Texas dealers to loan out F-150s to use as power generators.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
A total of 415 vehicles will likely be made available by Ford Texas dealers.
Yeah.
One of the most remarkable aspects of Ford's new F-150 is the option to equip it with a generator to power tools or blenders or TVs.
Yeah.
Ford decided that it can use this neat trick to help folks down in Texas who are suffering without power after winter storms caused by widespread outages all over the state.
Right.
According to a report published Thursday by Automotive News, Ford has asked dealers in Texas to loan out their stock of F-150 Power Boost hybrid models, some of the 415 trucks in all, to help homes and businesses. It's even altered its loaner program to make that process more straightforward. Specifically, Ford is upping its loaner fee paid to dealers by $600 to help incentivize them. And also, it's assured dealers that the trucks can still be sold to customers as part of March Truck Month promotion.
Nice.
Currently, all of Ford's gasoline-powered F-150 models can be ordered with the 2 kilowatt generator option, aside from the base V6 hybrid models, get a 2.4 kilowatt generator as standard, and a 7.2 kilowatt system can be optioned.
Interesting. So it's all built into your truck.
Yeah, and it says obviously 415 generators aren't going to make a meaningful dent for the whole state, but it's nice to see that Ford encouraging its dealers to help out.
Yeah. So, I mean, it is interesting, too. Make sure you don't run your generator in your garage. We've talked about that. Here up in the Northeast, people seem to forget that, and they run the generator in the garage, and, of course, it produces some gases and carbon monoxide, and that's not so good. This is built into your truck. You can just back it out of the garage, get it running, and...
Well, just run it in. At least you can keep the essential things working, like your refrigerator,
right.
And it wouldn't heat your house.
Your computer, of course, is essential.
Well, you know, you might be able to get, you know, like some lights on and
right.
You know, who knows?
Maybe. What a mess down there.
It is.
You know, it's hard to plan for the rare snowstorm. In other news, we talked about Australia maybe a couple weeks ago, Google deplatforming the entire country of Australia, or threatening to. Well, Facebook is banning the sharing of any news starting now. They have literally turned off the ability, if you're a Facebook user in Australia, to share news articles. And this is based on the fact that the folks in Australia, their regulators and politicians, are trying to get the news folks to get paid. And they want Facebook to pay those news articles generators some sort of fees for having their stuff posted on Facebook. And Mark Zuckerberg, you know, I always talk about if Zuckerberg deems the news worthy. Well, he has deemed the news not worthy in Australia. He doesn't want to pay. And we'll see what happens here. It's a bit of a, you know, over-the-top reaction. He even inadvertently, maybe, blocked information from some government sites by turning this on. We'll see how this all shakes out, but there has to be something that evens out this playing field with these social networking companies. And maybe Australia is not necessarily doing it the way it should be done as far as how they're trying to force it, but I like that they're giving the social networks a hard time. That's just me, but we'll see.
Well, there's legislation... talk about legislation in the EU, similar
right.
legislation to Australia, and even the United States is talking about it. And I actually have an article here. Congress calls CEO of Facebook, Google, and Twitter to testify on misinformation. Mark Zuckerberg, Sundar Pichai, and Jack Dorsey will appear before Congress at a remote joint hearing on March 25th. I wonder if they're going to use Zoom. Anyway, on Thursday, the House Committee on Energy and Commerce announced an upcoming joint hearing on misinformation and disinformation online and on social media. Set to testify, or Mark Zuckerberg said that.
I mean, that's great, but I mean, the issue that's talking about is having some sort of truth police within government, and that's a bit of a problem.
Well, they did that back, and they got rid of it in the 80s during Reagan, where they used to have, like, an equal time.
Sure.
So...
Well, equal time is one thing. This is, well, whose truth is the truth, and who's going to meet the deciders of the truth?
Right.
And disinformation, I mean, you could probably have NBC, CBS, ABC as well brought in to talk about, you know, disinformation or false information or misinformation, as you want to call it.
Well, whose truth are you talking
about?
That's
the problem. That's the problem. So I don't know that this is necessarily a good thing. Obviously, we got to correct what's going on, but I'm not sure I want a government entity as an arbiter of truth. That just gets a little too
I think that gets a little
state.
Too far into the First Amendment.
It gets into all sorts of things.
And the Fourth.
Yeah. So in other news, we always talk about Uber, and Uber is fighting the good fight. The Californians decided that Uber's drivers were not employees of Uber and could be still considered individuals and part of the gig economy, while folks in the UK have decided that Uber drivers are not self-employed. This is a court that has ruled. And so we're going to see what happens here. So as far as Uber in the UK goes, now they have to deal with fighting the fact that they have to pay for health care and insurance and all this stuff for these folks who want to use their app. I would contend that Uber is simply going to say, well, in the UK, if you'd like to buy a franchise, you become your own Uber franchise and you have access to the app, pay a franchise fee, and then you pay us the other way. I don't think the court can deal with that. This is a simple swap. I mean, that's how Hartford Current got around not making Paperboy's employees when I was a kid. It was my gig. I was a self-employed person delivering the paper.
Yeah. Yeah, they got around labor laws, too.
Oh, sure they did. And I was a franchisee because I'm paying for the papers. If my customers didn't pay me, well, I had to eat it as a 16-year-old. Isn't that great? Thanks, Hartford Current. I shouldn't complain. I mean, it was a great little job. But that's how the Current got around it. Uber, I suspect, will do the same thing. It is a gig economy. Trying to say that their employees is just ludicrous. It's nutty.
Well, you know, it kind of goes down a road where, you know, you have the government trying to be involved in everything, and
yeah,
it shouldn't.
Well, again, technology is very nimble, and, you know, unfortunately, government is really not that smart. So we'll see how they do.
Well, it usually takes the government about 10 years to catch up.
Just to understand, yeah. So,
and then by that time, they're still 10 years behind.
We'll post these over at computertalkwithtab.com. Actually, Mike G will do it for us. So anything you missed, you can read these articles yourself. I also saw, this is just good news I wanted to bring up. Maybe you guys saw the article, too. Wall Street Journal had an article that said we're going to be at herd immunity by April. That's pretty cool. So something good to look forward to. So a lot of good news coming. Springtime's coming a lot around the corner, so everyone's feeling better about this whole thing. Let's hopefully get out there and do what we can during this pandemic to help small business and help the restaurants and help the folks that really need it. If we can. We're going to step out for a quick break. Get back to more. Get to your calls. 800-966-WTIC. 522-WTIC are the numbers. We have two lines open for you. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. And if you're watching us on Facebook Live, it's over at WTIC's Facebook page. And feel free to post comments, likes, whatever you like. We'll do our best to try to address them during the show if we can. Let's go on to your calls. We're going to go to Stefan in New Britain. What's going on, Stefan?
Good morning.
Morning.
Gentlemen. I'm having a little problem getting rid of McAfee.
Oh, boy.
On my hard drive. Because I purchased your Webroot.
It's not mine.
Foundation.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
And McAfee keeps sending me messages that I'm just tired of it.
You know, I know.
I could use another way to describe this, but you would be hitting the button.
Yeah, yeah.
It says you need to be an administrator to get rid of this software from the hard drive. Mm-hmm. So I am logged on as administrator. I mean, I checked it. It says me, administrator, yada, yada, yada.
Right.
And they're not letting me delete this. Is it their administrator?
No. It's your administrator. And, Bob, you've already found an answer for him, right?
Yeah. They put some of their stuff in a place that's in the system drives that doesn't allow it to be completely removed. But there's a tool that McAfee offers, the McAfee removal tool, and we'll post a link to that. You can download it, and it'll uninstall all the McAfee stuff.
Right.
Okay. Just make sure that you read everything that it says and check the checkboxes appropriately.
Right, because it'll say, here's the removal tool, behind. And if you don't check itself off, it will
right.
leave stuff.
So just don't do next.
Oh, okay. All right, because this is really irritating. Yeah. And, I don't know, I got to call Webroot again because they were supposed to send me a disk with this, too. But I'll just get back to them. Now, on to my other question.
Yeah.
I'm the guy with the 17-inch plastic HP. And I'm thinking about, because I have music software that's been hanging around for a while.
Right.
Can I, on a higher spinning hard drive, because this is just too slow for music.
Right.
Can I get a higher spinning hard drive, get a copy of XP, because all this stuff that I have runs on XP.
Yeah, Stefan, that's going to be tough, man.
What you want to try to do is right-click on the file you want to run and check on under properties, get the compatibility mode.
Right.
And then under compatibility mode, you may not have XP, but you can try it under 7, because most things that run on XP will run on 7.
They're talking XP Vista. That's how old this stuff is. So, all right, compatibility mode.
Yeah, right-click.
Right-click on the file, choose compatibility mode, and then choose, XP is an option, choose that, but I would choose
Windows 7.
Windows 7, if it's available.
Yeah, because you can choose the modes.
Oh, okay. Because it's not installed now, but I was thinking of trying to fool my laptop into, thinking it was running XP, just using the drive. I'm using the remote drive, using this CPU, using this 64-bit operating system.
Yeah.
And installing, like, a Windows XP 64-bit operating system on a faster spinning drive so it could access it, kind of like fooling the computer into thinking it's running.
Yeah, no. I know what you're saying. The problem, too, is that technology these days is almost too fast for the old software.
Yeah.
So
I would be running the old software. So my newer laptop would be too fast for the old software?
It can be, yeah. The system may not be able to handle it. The software is designed for something that, is 15 years old.
Yeah.
If you have current technology, you might find your trick doesn't even work. And the drivers may not communicate with your hardware. So you might have XP running, but you won't hear anything because there's no communication with your audio driver, with an XP driver.
Yeah, because everybody today is using solid-state drives,
yes,
i7s, and everything like that.
Right.
And I think now on the upgradability issue, if I get a desktop versus the last laptop, the desktop is a lot easier to upgrade. Right?
I agree. Yeah, much more. Yeah. It'll last you longer, too.
Yeah, because it's not really going anywhere, so.
Right. Yeah, that's the way to go. Get a nice chassis and start building your components.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you very much for your advice.
And yeah. Let us know how the removal tool works. All right, Stefan?
I will. Thank you very much.
You got it.
Okay.
All right, bye-bye. It can be annoying, though, to have software that won't go away, right?
Yeah. I run into it more often than I want to.
Of course. Yeah, you'd think it's supposed to be there to help you.
Yeah, and it's usually like an antivirus.
Yes, acting like a virus. All right, let's move on to Maria in Torrington. What's going on, Maria?
Hi, it's actually Marla.
Yeah, you probably is correct. I know I got glasses on, but it's a bit of a distance from our board. Sorry about that.
It's okay. It's better than some of the things I've been called. I'm so grateful for you to take my call. I've been listening to your show for quite a while. I learn so much, and I brag about you guys all the time.
Oh, thank you.
And the program. I'm calling because I'm finally upgraded from a big booty television to a Samsung Smart TV.
All right.
So you probably know where I'm headed. I'm cutting the cable.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you. So I do have a few questions because I've been trying to get myself situated with being able to actually watch TV. Mm-hmm. And I understand that there are some packages out there that provide live TV and all of the stored repetitive packages.
Mm-hmm.
So I currently have the Samsung TV package that comes with the television.
Right.
I do have Prime anyway. So
yeah, nice.
That.
Yep.
I added Discovery Plus and PBS. But I'm trying to read through the quagmire of information on which package to choose for live/local television.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting kind of lost.
Yeah.
Because a lot of them are large price packages.
But they'll still be less expensive than cable. But
absolutely.
Yes, I do hear you.
So it seems- it seems like some packages carry these channels.
Right.
Other packages are missing that channel.
Yep.
So do you have any advice as to what really is the best choice for this kind of situation?
I got an opinion, but everybody does. We're going to a hard break, so let me put you on hold, and we'll give you some options. Okay, Marla?
Thanks.
You're welcome. So we're going to get back to Marla on what's out there as far as good live TV. If you're on the Facebook page and you want to let us know what you use, that might be handy for Marla as well. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. We are back, and we're talking to Marla out there in Torrington. You still there, Marla? Marla, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right. So we're talking about streaming live TV. You're going to cut the cable, and the beauty of all these things is you can try them and cancel them, so you're not locked into any long-term contracts, which is kind of nice.
Right.
So are you a Boston Red Sox fan?
No.
Okay.
I don't really need the sports package.
I
would be good with like the occasional figure skating or X Games kind of thing.
Yeah, so there's tons of live channels out there. The biggest ones out there is YouTube TV, Hulu, and Sling TV. Sling has these packages that you can actually choose different color packages as far as the channels you want to buy.
Yep, I read all those.
Yep, and so YouTube TV comes with PBS, so you could cancel your PBS subscription and just go through YouTube TV, saving some money there. All this stuff is kind of, it gets complicated, right? So you have to see.
Exactly, that's why I called.
Yeah, it's like where do they try to hook you? If you did the Discover channel stuff, but YouTube has some Discover built in. So there's all sorts of things that you can try to figure out where you're going to get your best deal. But the big players are Hulu, Sling, and YouTube TV. I would tell you to try them. Try them all and look at the channels they offer to see which one is in your best interest. Understanding you can just, you know, cancel and move on to the next one. You know, that's the beauty of it. The real key will be how well your Samsung TV performs with it.
Okay.
Have you tried the DirecTV? I'm not DirecTV. Have you tried the Prime on your Samsung? Has it worked really well for you?
Seems to be fine.
Good.
I
you should be good.
My question, too, is it looks like through all of these options, I could get the program after the fact. I guess what I was looking for is what can I really expect from what they call live TV? Like,
everything live.
Jeopardy when Jeopardy's really on at 7 o'clock.
Yes, you can. You can watch everything live that you're used to on your cable TV right now. Live TV is exactly that, live TV. And with YouTube TV, there's like 70 crazy channels. And they just recently offered HBO Max bundled in. I just saw this recently in a news article. There's a couple other channels they're bundling in for some sort of promotion. So you can get extra services. Again, it's becoming the same problem, right? It's a big bundled mess, right? So you go from one frying pan into a new fire. But you can... You know, dump them if you want to. Like Nesson, I brought up the Red Sox because Nesson is not going to be available on Hulu, Sling TV, or YouTube TV. Either they're charging too much for their content, or they can't come up with an agreement. So I may not be able to watch the Red Sox, which is kind of a bummer because they're probably going to be better than last year. So, I mean, of course, I could listen to it on 1080. That's going to be my alternative if I can't get the TV. So.
Yeah.
You really have to just look at the channel lineup, see what you like, and then make your decision. Anything you choose, you can cancel very easily. So you're not going to make a mistake, which is kind of nice. So I would just tell you to do a little research and line up the individual channels and see which one is best for you.
All right. I did write down the ones that I would watch the most. And pretty much overall, I'm not really into TV. I can see already where this could be a problem, where I'll be glued to watching binge TV, you know, binge a series or something.
Yes.
But
my wife and I just finished Vikings. Oh, so good.
Oh.
Nothing like a good historical drama.
Real trouble with this. I do have another question, like Go Net Speed. I learned on your show a week or so ago that they will not bring their opportunity to places with underground utilities.
Correct.
And where I live, that's what we have. So do you have an opinion on what would be the next best choice?
Well, unfortunately, we only have a couple incumbent broadband offerings in Connecticut. Mm-hmm. You're going to have DSL or your cable provider, unfortunately. Okay. The third option that I've been waiting for is T-Mobile. T-Mobile is offering wireless internet. So you should go check to see if you might be able to check that out. Just Google. Actually, I'll put a link up here for you for the T-Mobile home, because I'm still waiting for it in my home too, because I have the same problem. No matter how much I love the idea of GoNetSpeed, I don't know that I'm going to be ever able to get it in my neighborhood because we have underground wires. If I have to cut the cable with Cox and go to T-Mobile, I will, just to try it. Nothing better than wireless, right? As long as there's no data caps.
True.
That's the key.
Okay, last I wanted to ask you about the router situation.
Mm.
You're going to think I'm crazy, but
no.
I'm going to say it might even be more than a year ago. I magically got in the mail from Optimum a router from Altice, and I don't even know why I got it, but they sent it to me. And now that I was thinking about my questions for you today, I realize I have... In my office, I have a desktop computer, and that's where I have my router, modem, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I have Netgear, which I believe is my own. I'm not positive as to what these things are because my son actually set it up long ago.
Yeah.
So I have my desktop, quote-unquote, hardwired to the internet, and everything else is supposed to be running off the Wi-Fi.
Why is it quote-unquote? So it actually is. It's actually wired. That's good. It's
well, nice. I use quote unquote when I really feel I'm not quite sure what I'm talking about.
No, you're exactly right. It's wired exactly to the computer. Go ahead.
Okay. So Netgear, I imagine, is, like you said, it is my own router, but I also have this ARRIS.
ARRIS modem.
Box sitting here. So the silly part of the question is, do I need both of them?
You do need a modem and a router, but the ARRIS modem you have is coming from your internet provider, and if you look at your bill, they're renting it to you.
Optimum.
Yeah, and the folks at Optimum also sent you a router because they're also renting you that too. They wouldn't have done it out of the kindness of their hearts. So you may want to check your bill and say, look, I want to return this equipment. And you may want to go to like a Staples or a Best Buy and buy a Optimum-compatible router modem. And change out the ARRIS as well.
All right.
If you're feeling up to doing that.
Compatible modem.
Once you swap it out, you have to call Optimum and say, hey, I've got a new modem here. Here's the MAC address. And then they'll enable it, and now you'll save even more. It might go to pay for even your Hulu subscription by getting rid of those charges on your bill.
Well, let me say my use of internet is not, it's like I don't have a 3,000 square foot home with 15 people using things, and I'm paying $230+ a month for nothing.
For internet?
In my opinion. For the trifecta package.
Oh, yeah.
So I already know about Uma, you know, because like I said, I've been listening to you.
Sure.
So I'm going to dump the phone and...
Right.
Get rid of the cable piece and really only use them for internet for now.
Right.
So I can keep my email address.
Yeah. Sounds good. I think you're going to save some money doing this, Marla.
That's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah.
All right. So I can get an Optimum compatible modem at Staples and bring back both of these modem boxes and then have my Netgear and then go play with the different packages on TV.
Yeah, and then look at your internet, how much you're paying for internet, and tell them you really only want 100 megabit offering. You don't need some multi-hundred megabit solution. Just 100 megabits will solve your problem.
100 megabit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Whatever their smallest package is, I bet you'll be fine.
I believe you are correct, and right. I thank you so much for all the information.
Our pleasure. Good luck, Marla. Let us know how it turns out. We're here every Saturday.
Yes, I listen to you.
Right.
Thank you guys for all you do.
All right. Thank you, Marla. Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So Fubo TV does have Nessun as well, so somebody wanted to bring that up as well. So we're going to step out for a quick break, get to your calls. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We have two lines open for you, and we're going to get right to your calls. You're nice enough to join us on this Saturday morning. Let's go to Paul in Meriden next. What's going on, Paul?
Yeah. I retired about a year and a half ago.
Congratulations.
Thanks. One of the advantages of being really old. Yeah, but anyhow, they gave me my laptop.
Nice.
And they wiped it. I went out and I purchased Microsoft Office.
Yeah.
And installed it.
Nice.
And it's been working perfectly up until a couple of days ago. And what happened is now, I have installed Microsoft Office Pro Plus 2019.
Yeah.
There was an update that shows on 2/15/21.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens now is when I try to open up any document within that Office program, a spreadsheet or my email, I get a pop-up, and it says, updating Office, please wait a moment.
Mm-hmm.
I wait a few moments, and then another. And, for instance, when I want to open up a spreadsheet that I keep on my desktop,
mm-hmm.
It comes up and it says Outlook execute application error. And then it says the application was unable to start correctly. And then in parens, the error code is 0XC0000. 00142.
Yeah.
And then click OK to close the application.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, you've given me enough information here. There's a couple of ways, I guess, to fix this. There's all sorts of weird little tricks and stuff that I'm finding on this particular error. You're not alone with this error.
Oh,
yeah, right.
It usually is.
Yeah, the key is to try to find a good resource here for you that is not malicious on this error, because, like I said, I was able to actually say the error you were going to tell me as you were saying it, because it's so common. The question is if Bob and I can find an alternative to it and a solution to it quickly for you. So, Bob, we're looking for a 0XC000142 error. Any luck on that or no? 0XC0000142. A lot of times you can just uninstall and reinstall the software. That's
but there again, it's just when, I bought it from maybe Best Buy or so you're doing a download.
I know.
And I think the records are, in fact, on this computer, because I never believed that something would just wipe out the whole thing.
Yeah.
I can't get into any of my documents. I can get to the internet. I got my Chrome and, Edge and stuff. That's there because the operating system. But anything to do with Office, I can't open up any of those documents.
Right. No, it's a... it's a known issue. It's a stuck Microsoft stuck issue. You can try. So one of the things you can try is to do the repair office via control panel. So you can go into the control panel and you can go to the software, and you have an option not just to only uninstall it, but you can repair it.
I tried that.
Oh, okay. So that's down. So let's see if other solutions that are out here. You tried a quick repair, or you did a quick repair, I assume.
You know, I don't remember. Let me go back to hold on.
There's another one for you.
Okay.
There's a Microsoft Easy Fix tool. Did you try that?
No.
All right. We can try the Easy Fix tool that might work, even though it seems to be focused on Windows 2010. Is a 50780 Easy Fix, but I'm not certain that'll solve your issue. But it is part of this forum that I'm looking at that talks about solutions to this problem. Anything you find, Bob, that you think you should try?
Yeah, there's a number of things that comes to mind for me. You have this Office registered with Microsoft, and so do you have the ability to log in? Because my thought is to try doing an uninstall and rename the Microsoft Office.
Yeah, but he said he's worried about the fact there isn't any disks, right? You don't have any disks with this.
Well, nobody has disks anymore. So you have to re-download it. But
you've logged in and registered it.
If you've logged in and registered, you should be able to log in and get the key and do a new download and reinstall it.
Right, which is, I know it's a pain in the butt, but...
Yeah, and it's kind of hard to find, too. I've tried to walk people through it. Some of them are successful and some of them are not.
And believe it or not, this happens across all sorts of Office packages, not just the local ones. 365 has the same issue. So those of you out there saying, oh, I got 365, never happens to me. Sure it does. this is a Microsoft.
You expect.
Yeah. We can try to find some articles for you that might give you some things to try, Paul, before you take the drastic approach of reinstalling. But it's not that drastic these days. I mean, geeks like us find ourselves, that's usually the first thing we do, Bob, right? In software, it's try to fix it granularly is not usually worth it.
Well, you know, you spend a few minutes in it, and if you can't do it really quick, then you dig out the big hammer.
It hit my fingers. Okay. Yeah, no, I keep this by itself. You know, I have my desktop,
yeah.
Which is still working fine. But, and I have the link that, you know, the document on my other, where I went into, the Microsoft link that they give you.
Yeah.
And I kept that document and the link, but when I went in there, it doesn't give you the key or anything, and I don't have the key. So is there a way that the key gets kept on the computer that I can find?
Yes, kind of. You can get the last octet of that key by running there's a program that we use, and I gotta come up with it
while he's thinking about that key. There is another thing you can try. You've already tried the repair. Microsoft suggests that you can try running the application in safe mode.
Okay.
So you're gonna open up Office apps in safe mode. That might correct the issue.
So as far as finding the key, there's a utility called Bellark Advisor
mm-hmm.
that you can run on your computer, and it should give you most of the keys. It'll give you the last octet of the Office suite key that you have installed. So you can.
What was that program again?
Bellark.
Bellark Advisor. We'll put
a link
up for you.
And I'm going to put a link to this Microsoft answer, too, because there's a lot of other thoughts besides even the safe mode to try.
I'll try the safe mode first.
Yeah.
Because that sounds like
that sounds easy.
I might not screw up.
Sure. The instructions are in here for you, and you can follow the Microsoft community link on this issue. But it happens in all flavors of Microsoft Office software, whether it's on-prem or 365.
Well, let me give them a tryout. I'll go on the other computer and work on this one.
Sounds good, Paul. All right, good luck.
All right. Well, at least you've given me hints, and it's not something that's just happened to me.
Nope.
So I appreciate that.
Our pleasure.
Thanks
you too.
A lot
You're welcome. Yeah, all I mean, right. these types of issues with Microsoft can be maddening. But the good news is Microsoft has a new version of Office coming out the middle part of this year, Bob. Office 2021.
Yeah, and they're going to allow you to buy individual licensing for it.
They are going to allow you to buy local copies of it, which is great, which means, I hate to bring it up to the people who are renting it in the cloud, Microsoft concedes that there's plenty of folks who do not want to pay the rental subscription on Office 365. And if you do the math on it, companies, you'll find you're paying a lot more than you need to rent Word and Excel from Microsoft forever, with the same problems.
I'm using 2007 on mine at home.
2007?
And it works just fine. I got rid of my Exchange server, so right. I don't need the latest version of Outlook to work.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know.
It works.
It works perfectly fine.
Yeah. And in a business environment, that wouldn't work. But for home environment, it does. It does work. But, yeah, all these companies are trying to figure a way to get you to rent the stuff from them forever. You know, imagine if the typewriter company, wasn't it like Royal Typewriter out of Connecticut way back when, didn't
I think it was, yeah.
Yeah, imagine if they could have rented the typewriter to you rather than sell it to you. I bet you they still would be in business if they could rent you that typewriter for $2 a month forever.
How many people still have their old analog telephones they're paying rent on that yeah. they've been doing it since the 50s?
And those used to be news items where the news would say, oh, poor, you know, poor, I don't know. Eunice out there in the Midwest has been paying $12 on her phone to AT&T. Poor Eunice has paid $54,000 for her phone. And they used to say how sad it is. But now everyone's been sort of tricked into renting software forever. Fuller Brush would probably be still in business if we rented brushes. Wouldn't that be a deal? Why sell the brush if you can get them to pay for it every month? What a concept.
If it wears out, we'll send you a new one.
A new one for free. Well, you think it's free, but it really isn't. So we're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Those are the numbers. Everything we've talked about have been posted live over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. And if you follow us on Facebook still after you've watched The Social Dilemma on Netflix, go ahead and check like us in your newsfeed. And if Mark Zuckerberg deems our news worthy and we're not in Australia, it'll get into your newsfeed. We'll be right back.